This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
DraftKings Sportsbook is not only my favorite sportsbook, but it's America's top-rated sportsbook. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN in all caps when you sign up to turn $1 into $100 in free credits. Bet on the basketball team of your choice to win their next game, and if they do, you will claim $100 in free credits. That's promo code FANRUN in all caps for a limited time and only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Tennessee only. Wager paid out in site credits. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line, 1-800-889-9789.
Rick's got the top four at four this afternoon, brought to you by our friends at Citizens National Bank. Rick.
All right, gentlemen, here we go. Number one, a little bit of a College World Series recap here for you on Saturday. North Carolina State defeated Stanford by a score of 10-4, and then Vanderbilt won over Arizona in extras by a score of 7-6. That game went late. And, of course, we know on Sunday, Tennessee dropped the first game. And then you had Mississippi State. They won the game 2-1 over Texas. And actually, looking at it right now, Stanford is dominating Arizona in the early game. They're up 10-2 in the bottom of the fifth, the top of the fifth inning. It looks like, as things stand, Arizona could be on their way home here coming up in just a couple of innings.
Now, Arizona coach Jay Johnson, he's another one of the guys that LSU was rumored to be interested in.
Hire him.
Just hire him.
He's a great coach.
Yeah.
He's fantastic. No skeletons in the closet at all. Guy's never going to embarrass you.
In like 2 hours, you'll be able to go talk to him. Just wait a couple hours. You'll be able to sign him on the line.
What's the score on that one right now?
10-2, Stanford. Oof. Top of the fifth. So they got a little bit of ground to make up.
Go and hire that guy.
Yeah. Nothing wrong with that. All right, here we go. Numero dos. The Supreme Court of the United States has unanimously affirmed a ruling on Monday that will provide an incremental increase in how college athletes can be compensated, and it also opens the door for future models. The decision also will allow schools to provide their athletes with unlimited compensation as long as it is connected in some way to their education.
Yeah, that seems really vague.
You know, you had asked what our thoughts were at the end of the hour.
Yeah,
it's like,
and
laptops. I mean, they spelled out what it was, some pretty good examples of stuff.
Yeah, so, and but still, though, like, that's, I think, what I want to know more of. Yeah. Where is the line drawn with something that is connected to
cash?
Is a car connected to education?
No, it is not. No.
Do you know that, or do you think there's a way that somebody could
campus? No. You need to go read the opinion and read it. It was very narrow where he left it open, especially Justice Kavanaugh, the beer guy.
Right.
He likes beer, loves drinking beer. He really left it open. If I'm the NCAA, there's no way I'm giving that guy another shot at me. Because he basically pointed out what we've all been pointing out, is it's basically the only business in American history that doesn't, you know, they're basing it on not paying their employees.
So laptops are cool. Everybody's got the latest and greatest MacBooks now.
Books.
What about phones?
Phones wasn't on there.
Can I buy your? I mean, to me, that's just as essential, if not more so, than a laptop for a college education now.
Nah.
You don't think so?
No, I don't. Not compared to a laptop.
I'm in a group meet with my entire chemistry class. I need updates to know if we've got a lab this week. What about an iWatch?
Like I told Rick, watch?
Yeah, but you know that the kids are
going to
be. You know that the kids are going to be saying this. Like, I do kind of think that a phone would be a necessity that you could easily kind of convince some way, you know, your way towards. Now, granted, you're right. If there's very documented, I guess, items that you can or cannot have, then that'll make it easier. But I find this fascinating, at least.
I need a new desk.
Oh, okay.
To study on. I need
new headphones, noise canceling.
I need food.
Can't have people distracting.
Yeah, can't go to class on an empty stomach.
No
noise canceling headphones. I need great pens and paper and things of which I need a printer.
Oh, yeah, of course.
I need a desktop computer.
I need a tablet.
It's not unreasonable, but you can see where colleges are going to try and one-up each other to give the latest and greatest, just like they do now with the training tables and the weight rooms and all that stuff.
Yeah. Again, I'd still like to know more information, but that is pretty much where I stand on that. All right, number three. Guys, the 2021 U.S. Open yesterday, the final day of the tournament, was a banger. There was a wild leaderboard kind of with a couple hours to go, but it is none other than Jon Rahm. He collects the major, secures the bag, and what was just a very entertaining tournament, I thought, for 4 days.
Yeah, man, and he just came out and took it.
Yeah.
Too.
He went 4-under yesterday to finish 6-under for the tournament. It's incredible.
He took it some. I mean, Rick's boy just completely detonated.
DeChambeau.
Well, he detonated too, but Rahm took it, man. Two bomb putts to birdie the last two holes of the tournament. Clutch, man. Absolutely clutch. Oosthuizen couldn't get, I mean, the pressure got to him. You saw that one long putt. He left way short. And three putting and then couldn't find the fairway at the end. The pressure got to him. Rahm, I mean, what a way to win your first major, to just go out there with ice in your veins and nail it down, man. That was pretty impressive to watch.
He, especially yesterday, he became, I think, very, very likable through each hole. Just the way that he was celebrating kind of gave you a little bit of that common man feel. I was very much rooting for him as the rounds were closing down. Here we go. Last but not least, though, guys, the Tennessee Volunteers will either have a chance to avenge or add to a heartbreaking loss for Tennessee.
Have you seen the Volunteers?
They have all the seating out.
I don't like it.
And, of course, the Tennessee Volunteers' first game in the round of 64 is none other than against the men of Mackey, the team from Purdue. Oh! Either avenge
Who's on this team?
Or add it, or just add it to the list of heartbreaking Purdue moments.
What this thing is called the basketball tournament, right?
Yes. The TBT. So here we go. You want to know the team for the Volunteers?
Well, I know our team. I'm trying to find the Purdue team. Not finding much. Oh, wait, here we go. All right, thetournament.com, Purdue Boilermakers. Page not found. Come on, thetournament.com.
They don't even have a good enough team to have a roster.
I don't. I mean, who's? What are we talking about? Big Dog Robinson on this thing? We got
Konzo.
So they're the men of Mackey.
Konzo Martin jumping on there. The men of Mackey. Let's see.
Here's here we go.
HammeringRails.com.
Okay, oh, I got the
really
list.
Good.
You want it?
Yeah.
The men of Mackey's list. It looks like it will include Isaac Harris.
Never heard of him.
Isaac Haas. John Octaeus. A.J. Hammonds.
These all sound like Purdue players too, right?
Mm-hmm.
They kind of do.
Boring-ass basketball to watch.
I mean, here's a full list if any of these names. Evan Bordeaux. Kyle Mangus. I don't know any of these dudes.
All these two sound familiar.
All these names sound familiar. Remember Haas? He was 7-footer, right? I think we played against him 1 year. Evan Bordeaux, Lewis Jackson, Frank Gaines. Hummel was a beast, though.
Okay.
Remember him for sure. We got to take these guys down.
So right
is
now,
is that game going to be on TV anywhere?
You know, I actually don't know that answer. I believe it is, though. I will find out and I will check.
I'll watch.
Oh, definitely,
I'm watching all those former Vol greats take on Purdue.
Hey, here's Tennessee's team in case you missed it. Bobby Mays is the GM. Ron Slay is the head coach. Chris Lofton, Wayne Chisholm, Lamonte Turner, Jordan Bowden, Cam Tatum, Juwan Smith, Duke Cruz, John Fields, and Tyler Smith.
Pretty stout lineup.
Yeah, it is.
All right, thank you, Rick. That is the Top 4 at 4 brought to you by Citizens National Bank. The official bank of the Drive, Bank Local. Simplify your life by turning to Citizens National Bank for all your personal banking needs. They've got a variety of checking and savings options, plus chip-enabled debit and credit cards to help you safely and securely Manage your everyday cash flow and build your rainy day savings right here in East Tennessee with a friendly local neighborhood community bank. Citizens National Bank, over 20 branches throughout Sevier, Knox, Jefferson, Hamblin counties. They are everywhere. Visit cmbtn.com for a branch near you or just call 865-453-9031.
I also forgot to mention that those that first round of a few games for Tennessee, however far they make it, that will be in Columbus, and it will be from July 23rd to the 27th. So you can expect that around the end of next month.
All right. Very good. Coming up in about 10 minutes, Haji's going to join to give us his thoughts on the golf tournament. That's his guy, John Rahm. Every major for the past 2 years, I feel like, Haji, who you like? John Rahm. John Rahm. That's my Haji impersonation. And he finally nailed it down yesterday. We'll get his thoughts on the baseballs. Can they bounce back? And, Haji is a huge Phoenix Suns fan. The Suns. So won game one of the Western Conference Finals. I guess that would be their first final since Barkley. Back in, 93, I believe is the last time they went?
I guess so.
Barkley and Kevin Johnson, Thunder Dan Marley. Oh, man. What a fun team that was. They pushed the Bulls a little bit in that game. Let's go to the phones. 865-546-8200. And Phil is next. Good afternoon, Phil.
Mike's AW.
Hey.
How you, Bear Bryant and Fables doing?
Doing well, Phil. I'm glad to hear a little pep in your step. I thought you yesterday might be a recipe for a really depressing phone call, but you sound chipper today.
Well, I'm hearing all this excuse making all day long. It's kind of cool,
Excuse making? Who's making excuses?
Everybody is all around town. I mean, this is one of these other coaches on the hill. They'd be roasting him up to the firing squad.
Amen.
I mean,
that's why you get in good with the local media. You endear yourself to the fan base. In situations like these things happen. Everybody lays an egg every now and then. They go a little bit easier on you.
Yeah, well, maybe they'll win tomorrow. Hopefully they will. Playing UT, the other UT, would be kind of interesting, to say the least.
They were a no-show yesterday, Phil.
Well, it's funny, the teams that struggled to get where they're at did better than the ones that had, just waltzed right through it. Kind of weird, isn't it?
I think three of the first four games – three underdogs won. The only favorite to win was Vanderbilt, and they had to go to extra innings to win the other night.
Yeah. I was hoping Cotton Candy get beat. Why are y'all complaining about that Whistler thing? I mean, Vandy probably didn't have but 10 fans there at the game anyway. Why are you complaining about it? Are you complaining about Bammer Jammer for 15 straight years in Neyland Stadium? Or are you complaining about Gator bait,
No,
20 to 25 years. I mean,
they do rammer jammer once at the end of a game that they win. The Gator bait chant plays a handful of times throughout the game. This is every single pitch for hours, Phil. It's unbearable. I would say this about it if it were one of our fans.
Fans come. That's all it proves to me. I mean, they've won two championships, but they act like they're uneducated idiots. Guy probably didn't even – I bet the guy who's doing it is not even a Vanderbilt graduate. Is that guy Vandy Lance or something? I remember that guy used to be on talk radio. He was horrible.
No, this dude, what did – his name is Preacher McGee or something? Or?
Well, there's actually two. There's some dude named Pack. That's the guy with the white hair. It's all slick back.
No, I thought that was Preacher.
No, there's two of them. I just read an article about it. There's two Whistlers.
Oh, man. I would say, go ahead, Phil.
If I was a fan of another team, I'd be kind of pissed about it anyway. I mean, especially if he's going up and down the aisles doing that crap.
I mean, one of them's been punched.
One of them got punched?
Yeah.
Good.
Once by a female, once by a male. Both Mississippi State fans. Which is really rich to me, considering those idiots and their cowbells that they won't stop banging.
Oh, honestly, I didn't think I'd ever hear cowbells hear a whistle,
That's a good point. Those cowbells can be absolutely obnoxious. I don't know. It just seems to me that It's not good for the game. And again, I would say this if it were one of our fans doing that or two of our fans doing this time and time again. It's not something that is fun for anybody to watch. And I wish some Vanderbilt fans would speak up about it and say, this dude needs to shut up, man. It is not fun. It makes watching a game unbearable.
Yeah, but like I say, Vanderbilt probably had 20 fans at the game. Let's get real.
Well, that makes it worse because he stands out more.
Well, I mean, was there some Tennessee fans there? I mean, who did they play that was the opposing team? It was
Arizona. Yeah.
Arizona's fans should go over there and knock the crap out of them.
Oh, you guys. Violence is never the answer, Phil.
It is in this day in the age of the country. It sure is.
No, that's a problem.
Story for another day, you know. But scoring no runs, you ain't going to win a game. I mean, I don't care. You know, our pitching was okay for six innings. We gave up one run. I mean, if you score zero, you ain't going to win. It don't matter how great you are.
Well, if these two teams, Tennessee and Texas, play the way they did in their first games tomorrow, it's going to be a really quick game because Texas struck out 21 times last night and almost won the game. They end up losing 2-1 to Mississippi State. And, I mean, half the time they're not even swinging their bat. They're just watching it go by. And we've done that a time. You got to swing it, man. I mean, this is college baseball. The strike zones are huge. They're going to call strikes. You got to swing.
You know, and I'll also say this real quick. You just said if Tennessee and Texas show up tomorrow like they showed up the other day. Here's the thing, though. In the past couple of months, the Tennessee team that has lost has never shown back up that next game. If you look at any of their last, I believe it goes back to seven losses in that next game, they did something pretty dadgum good. I think this team knows how to play with a vengeance. I think they know how to play after a loss. And they do not take back-to-back losses. I know that people are a little freaked out because, again, it was a really bad showing. But I'm telling you, there might be nobody better without looking than at a bounce-back game than these stats I have here for Tennessee, and I'll read them out later in the show. But I don't worry too much. I just think they're really good at getting a little bit of vengeance.
That's a good point. But we ran into a good pitcher yesterday, and our hitting discipline. I don't know what our game plan was yesterday.
I agree.
Swing a lot of bad pitches. I mean, good Lord. I mean, I don't know. I guess it's the one meant to be.
That's kind of the way that I was trying to look at it after the game, but I do agree. I didn't have much discipline at the plate, did not have great lefty-lefty matchups, did not hit the ball well, did not see the ball well, but nonetheless, it's never carried over for Tennessee this season, and I don't expect it to for the first time tomorrow.
Well, let's talk about something pleasant. Jamal Mayshak's a champion. He won the California State Championship with his high school team, and he's coming in here. He'll be Rick Barnes' number one defender next year. So things could be worse, couldn't it? I mean, I know we got rolled in the first round of the NCAA tournament, but there's not much difference in Rick Barnes getting annihilated and we're getting beat 6-0 yesterday.
Phil, do you think the Vols bounce back? And are you worried about Tony Vitello leaving the Coop so soon?
I don't know. I don't think he'll leave, but, I mean – if LSU offers him $2 million, I mean, Tennessee's not going to match it. You know what I mean?
I mean, if we're up to 1.6 and it's just two, they shouldn't be able. Like Bears said, they're broke. They're just as broke as us, man. They should not be able to outbid us for anything.
Yeah, but they don't care. I mean, Will White's still coaching.
Well, our president just gave the basketball coach $5 million a year salary. 2 years ago when everybody said, that's insane, when Fulmer's ready to let him walk.
Well, they took Baylor's Kim Mielke for the women's basketball. They gave her, what, $2 million to go there?
Mm-hmm.
God, it's a joke.
I mean, it's ridiculous. This is like throwing money away. But they're LSU.
It's a major
moment.
They're
more serious about winning than we are. I mean, let's get real. I mean, we throw money away buying out LSU goes out and buys coaches.
Can't let this guy leave. You can't let him walk. I don't care if they're the quote-unquote best job in the country. You make this the best job in the country, man. This fan base has been through too much to let this guy walk out after a season like this.
Well, we're going to spend $50 million on stadium. See ya.
Why not? Why? It's all monopoly money over there. Every time they say,
if Rusty has his way, they will.
Well, we can't do this. Oh, my God, COVID. It's gonna set us back. It's going to be – we won't know the true effects for years. All the money we lost. All the money we lost on COVID. Year later, yeah, we're going forward with a $300 million expansion of our football stadium. We're going to fire this. We're going to fire buy out the football coaches. We're going to hire a new AD, pay him $1.8 million. It's all monopoly money, man. It's all monopoly. They'll find it. They've got it. Don't ever. It's like the federal government, man. They just sent everybody $1,400 checks. Everybody, a nation of 350 million dollar people. Hey, $1,400. Oh, that's not enough. Here's another $1,000. Don't ever let them tell you they don't have the money. They've got it. They've always had it. They always will have it. Tony Vitello, $2 million. They find that in the couch over there. All right. Haji joins the show next. We'll talk some golf with him, get his thoughts on Tony Vitello, the baseball situation, when we continue next right here on Fan Run Radio.
The Drive.
Jets Pizza and Farragut.
You know, don't do anything terrible and you'll be all right. And, you know, Usti hit one in his tee shot in the hazard on 17, and he was, you know, that was, Rahm was the left standing, but it wasn't like they all gave it to him. Like you said, he earned it for sure.
And the pressure obviously got to Oosthuizen and several others. Rahm probably benefited from the fact that he was so far, he was several groups ahead and didn't have time to think about it. It was very much easier for him to just sort of have a let it all hang out attitude towards those last two putts that he made. And one can't help but wonder, would it have been different if he were playing in the last group next to Oosthuizen? Would he have been able to hold out those putts?
His history says it for sure would have been, because he has not been a good closer when he's had the lead. He's played better when he's behind, and so he was in the right position to do that. But those two long putts, those left or righters, are hard on right-hand putters, and it was, you know, 25 feet and 18 feet, and they both had a couple feet of break in them, and they both went right in the middle. So, that's how you win tournaments right there. But, he had so much – he had to be disciplined on 18. He hit it in the bunker, so he couldn't really aim at the flag, because if he hit it just a little bit thin, it was going to go in the water, so he had to play out to the right and just hope for a little bit of, you know, come down the ridge a little bit and leave him a shot at it. And it paid off for him, you know. It didn't come down too much, obviously, even that 18-footer hanging, but he made it. He won. He's the fourth guy to birdie the last two holes to win it. And to Usti's credit, he had to lay up, and he got up and down for birdie, but it was one short. So Rahm had to make both of those putts to win the tournament, and it just, or if not, he'd been in a playoff, but just pretty spectacular, really.
So,
and just his mental attitude has just changed so much. You know, he was the hothead for years, but he's a competitor. You know, Tiger was a competitor and a hothead, and there's been everybody that's a competitor that's won at the highest level has had to battle that part of it, the mental part of it. And maintaining your composure, especially in the U.S. Open. You know, if you notice, you know, the Vols unfortunately made it easier on me to watch more of the golf than I probably would have if we'd have got a couple runs home early. But the roars weren't there because there weren't that many, you know, birdies on the back nine. It wasn't like a Masters roar or it was just more of a carnage, quiet crowd, and just who's going to earn it. So I think the fans, you know, really appreciated the opportunity to have a couple things to celebrate on the back nine.
Well, I'll tell you what, I was listening. I was driving home when he made both of those putts, listening to, yes, golf on the radio, PGA nice. Tour radio on Sirius XM. I don't know if this is just I'm getting old type thing, Haji, but I listen to that a lot, man. They have some really good talk shows, too, on that thing. Yeah. I find myself enjoying that. But it sounded loud when he made those two there towards the end. I don't know if it's just the way they had the
when
mic
it first
set up.
When they first started that play by play, I was like, how is this going to be anything, you know? But it's more of a, you know, like a radio play by play. Here comes the putt. It's drifting down the hill, breaking toward the right, toward the hole. You know,
oh, yeah.
it does add a little drama to it.
And you'll hear the like the tee shots. You'll hear the whoosh, you know, and it's actually pretty good. So all right, so we got the three of the four majors down. Matsuyama wins the Masters. Phil wins the PGA. Rahm takes home the U.S. Open, the British Open next month. What are you thinking there? Where is that tournament this year?
It's just outside of London at what's it called? You tell me what it's called, Russ. Oh,
I'm looking it up right now. Royal St. Okay. George.
Right, thank you. That's where I believe that's where I was going to say Jack and Watson had their – that was somewhere else, though, their famous weekend shootout. But, well, Bryson is the favorite. And speaking of – all right, so Bryson, his deal was he's going to hit it as far as he can, right? Rick mm-hmm. made that statement on Thursday, and he's going to just hit it as close to the green as he can. And he survived it until the back nine yesterday, but he was getting good lies every time. He was hitting it where the fans were standing, so the ground was trampled down. He didn't really have too many terrible lies till yesterday. And you know, something that was kind of noticed that when he would tee off, he would never point to the gallery or to the right or to the left. He would just, you know, pick up his tee. And And that kind of irked some people because he didn't yell four because he wasn't, you know, and people down there, you know, they can't see where the ball's coming from. So maybe some people would, you know, and his playing companions would point. But just another thing to be aggravated about a Bryson back. He didn't care about the fans out there. He just wanted
no
to hit
regard
as far
for
as he
human
could.
Life.
No. And he's hitting harder than anybody else, too. So the ball's coming in faster
it's such
than everybody
a,
else.
It's such a un. Appealing, aesthetically lacking golf swing. I hate watching it. It's so violent unartistic.
And he comes out. It looks like he's coming out of it every time. But so I enjoy it when I see it. You know, the tracker sending it out to the right. But to his credit, he handled it almost as well as he could have till the end. But I enjoyed that meltdown as much as I did watching Rahm win. And they asked him about how if his disappointment, you know, he said, oh, I'm over it. I don't care. I've already won it. You know, and that irked me again that I don't believe that's really true, that he really doesn't care about winning the U.S. Open. But he just made it sound like, no big deal. I've already won it. So I'm just going to keep doing what I'm doing. And he just, you know, he just thinks so much of himself. It's just not a good look. But he finally did not get a couple good lies in it, you know, the triple on 17 was as much fun to watch as anything I saw all weekend.
Do we bounce back tomorrow in Omaha, Haji? Or is it two and done?
You know, I really yesterday I felt like the first round of the SEC tournament, the home game against Wright State, we did not look good in either one of those games. Got lucky and came back the bombs away to win against Wright State, and then we looked solid the rest of the way ever since then. And then we struggled a little bit against LSU in the first game. I felt confident in the second game, and it was just they were more relaxed. Boy, a little bit of a different story because this is for all the marbles. So, you know, but Texas is actually the 2 seed. Remember, they were ranked second coming in. So I expect them to be, you know, in the same mindset as us. But I think we'll out hit them. But I didn't like the lack of aggressiveness at the plate. You know, the umpires made it a low strike zone early, and then we just still didn't swing at the ball through a few innings. But I thought the killer was the line out after the sacrifice bunt in the fifth inning when we had runners at second and third with one out, and the line drive to second. You know, another 4 inches higher, it's 2-1, and it would have been a different game the rest of the way. I certainly feel that way. But once that happened, then we kind of were pretty quiet the rest of the way, which is, you know, unfortunate. So I'm going to say yes. I've got the over 12.5 today. Have they scored yet again, Rick? Anybody scored in that game yet?
So let's see. I have it.
10-5.
Yeah, so they're catching up a little bit, but it seems a little bit too much.
We've cashed the ticket, though. We had over 12.5 runs.
There you go.
I would lean toward the under tonight with Vanderbilt pitching, but NC State's not going to be afraid. They beat Arkansas twice in a row. They'll show up, and should be fun to watch tomorrow morning. I don't know. We're all going to be on pins and needles. So now what happened? Now are you? Now would you take a national championship? It costs us losing our coach.
What was your devil's bargain last week?
We win the national championship, but we lose the coach. And now we could go 0-2 and lose the coach, which how'd that scenario compare?
No. You got to keep Tony. We're playing the long game here. We're going to be – if Vitello stays, we're going to be back. This is only the beginning, the tip of the iceberg. That's – I mean, it's more important right now. Keeping Tony Vitello is more important than winning this game tomorrow. It just
– Absolutely.
Yes, 100%.
Yeah. Sure.
They've got to get that done. And, man, there's a lot of buzz out there about LSU kicking the tires and vetting him and all this stuff. And
well, the article that I read mentioned three, including Arizona and Tim Corbin. I don't know if you're Tim Corbin with the advantage they have
maybe
in
just
recruiting.
Wants to get away
I don't
from
know
the Vandy
if
Whistler.
That. True. Maybe. Let's hope. But is it a bad look for LSU if they hire – if we lose and Arizona loses, they hire the guys that went 0-2 in the World Series?
That's what I'm saying.
I don't know where they look.
Mighty LSU should be able to do better than a guy who can't even play to run in a game in the College World Series.
Right.
He's kind of a choke artist if we're being fair and honest about it, right?
I mean,
LSU doesn't want any part of that. I'm sorry, Tony.
No.
I don't really mean it.
We're trying to. We're just devil's advocate.
Oh, man. Your son's off to a good start. First finals for the Suns since Charles Barkley and Thunder Dan Marley patrolled the court.
They've won 8 in a row, and I don't know if anybody on the East Coast has seen any more than 5 minutes of it. But they won. They got down 2-1 to the Lakers. Won 3 in a row and swept the Nuggets. And then the Clippers come in. And then we've got no Chris Paul, and you know he's the glue that's held it together. But also Chris Paul has been on, you know, FaceTime and Zoom and talking to the guys. He's the leader. And the Suns won 10 in a row at the close out the year last year to miss the playoffs by one without him. So there's a conference confidence oozing. So I don't know. You probably didn't see any of it with all else that was going on yesterday. But their crowd is unbelievable. They were the first.
I saw some videos of guys fighting in the concourse.
There was one in the Nuggets when the game three, the Suns in four guy, as he's known. Yeah.
No, I saw full. There was a full-on brouhaha in the concourse yesterday. It was Suns and Clippers fans going at it.
I didn't see that, but that doesn't surprise me either with the Clippers fans. But,
some bad fighting.
If we could get Paul George out, I mean Kawhi's out. I guess if they can't, I was surprised they played as well as they did yesterday after going to Game 7 Friday night. To be honest. And they made a good showing for themselves, I thought. But if we could just get Paul George back to his rusty postseason self, it'd be, you know, why would we not just sweep our way to the finals? That'd be fun.
All right, man. Well,
back to the golf for a second.
Yeah.
I'm a big family man, and Rom having a baby 10 weeks old and changing his whole mindset. That's what, and, you know, talking about karma and having what happened to him in Jack's place a couple of weeks ago, and just saying, you know, just being positive about it, putting a positive spin on it, losing that $1.2 million. Well, he won $2.2 million yesterday, and he just got a great attitude. And I'll be a fan for a long time, another Arizona State guy. I'll be a fan for a long time with him, except in the Ryder Cup, obviously. But the Open is DeChambeau and DJ are the top two favorites.
Okay.
So, what do you think? I'm gonna have to put a little something on the 40-1 Louis Oosthuizen at this point.
He's always up there, man. He's always just a real pretty swing, always hanging around out there, and he's a good player, man.
May not be too devastated like some people would be after yesterday. A couple of the guys, Henley and Hughes, those guys that we kind of expected not to be able to handle it yesterday, they'll have a little trouble with it probably, but the cream will rise to the top again. I would put Paul Casey as another guy who hadn't won a major give him a little shot at it. He's an England guy, so okay. Watch those England guys. But let's go, Vols. Let's get one tomorrow, and then we'll take them one at a time.
Thanks, Hodge.
See you guys. Thank you.
John Hodge making his presence felt, a fountain of golf information and knowledge this afternoon on the show. We got to take a quick time out. Open the phone lines again here, 865-546-8200. The Drive continues. More Fan Run Radio coming up.
The Drive.
Back here on The Drive, Fan Run Radio. Russell, Baron, Rick back with you. Jeff on Twitter says, speculation in Baton Rouge is the Tigers are waiting on Tony Vitello.
To what now?
He says, speculation in Baton Rouge is the Tigers are waiting on our boy.
I don't like that.
Yeah, why not? They stole our football program soul 20 years ago. Go ahead and steal the one thing that our fans have all united around and bonded over and gotten behind. Go ahead and take that from us too, LSU. I don't even care anymore. Go ahead, take it all. A lot of LSU chatter out there, but doesn't part of you just feel like that's people filling the void with something? LSU, they don't have their search. Tennessee, he hasn't announced 100% that he's staying yet. There's no been an announcement from either, and so people are just filling the void with speculation.
Yes, to an extent, I guess. Let me ask you this. Are you necessarily frustrated at anybody or anything in particular? Or is this kind of like to you just a little bit of, we got a really high-level program who wants our very talented coach? Yeah, like that's frustrating enough, but maybe are you directing that anywhere? Do you feel like
no?
Okay, that's what I thought.
I'm frustrated that the waiting is going on, but this is all. I mean, we've been saying it for weeks now, right? If you're Vitello, you wait till the end of the season, and you let this thing stretch out as long as you can because that's how you get the most money out of Tennessee and the most promises. And look, he could decide to go. I mean, that's. If he doesn't like what he's hearing from the Tennessee side of things, he's going to have other options. That's pretty obvious at this point. But like I said, I think that the loss yesterday doesn't help any. Like if we had won, I think we'd still be beating our chest. We'd spend a lot more time beating our chest than gnashing our teeth about him potentially leaving. But it's just I understand why people are upset, man, or not upset, but anxious, because you see this stuff, and you got our very own Houston Kress running around talking about his Major League Baseball sources are saying that LSU
I'm
players
really upset
are vetting
with Houston.
Tony.
Did you guys see his tweet today that said that you guys dunked on him?
No.
He went out. He admitted it. He said, they dunked on me for 5 minutes, and then I told them what they wanted to know.
I don't think we dunked on it. We wanted him to pick up the phone.
We are impossible to ignore. You can't ignore us.
Try as you might. We are Glenn Close in Fatal Attraction. We will not be ignored. It's a reference that went over, I think, 5% of our all but 5% of our audience's head. 865-546-8200. We're going to go open lines from here on out. What do you know? What do you know about it, folks? This NCAA thing getting a lot of traction on the Twitter machine from pundits weighing in. What do you think? Should Tennessee try to run out the clock? Does this change the way you handle your own NCAA investigation? There's been this feeling that, hey, we want to hurry. We want to rush through this, but we want to get answers as quickly as possible. We're falling on the sword. We're being transparent. We have nothing to hide. We want to complete our own investigation. The NCAA is sitting in on these meetings and everything. They know exactly what's going on. We're going to self-impose, and then that's going to be it. We want this done. We want it wrapped up before the end of the year, hopefully within a couple of months. Does the ruling today change that at all? Do you say, well, wait a minute. If the NCAA as an organization is potentially on the verge of collapse, as several pundits out there have speculated, is there any part of you, your UT, your Danny White, you go to your folks and say, listen, maybe we ought to pump the brakes on this thing. Maybe we ought to just, let's see what happens the next several months, because we might be able to still admit what we did is wrong, not have to pay Pruitt, but be able to get out of this thing unscathed, because this is a toothless, feckless, powerless institution right now.
Yeah.
I really find that interesting. Do you think that maybe kind of once the ball gets rolling a little bit, sometimes it's just too hard to stop? Like with what you're saying, maybe you can slow it down a little bit, or, you know, maybe you might want to at least change routes. Do you think maybe it's just snowballed? Do you think that's a legitimate option?
I think that train has left the station.
Okay.
I think Plowman and those are, I mean, from everything they've said publicly, which has not been a lot, but what they have said, it seems to indicate that they're going to do exactly what they said. They're going to investigate this. They're going to be 100% transparent. But, man, it just feels like with each passing week, the NCAA becomes a less and less relevant institution in college athletics.
I mean, that's why LSU. I can't remember that. What's the guy's name? Their basketball coach.
Will Wade.
That's why. I mean, he's on an FBI wiretap. I mean, they've got him dead to rights. He's told him to go pound sand.
They've had him dead for rights for 2 years before a lot of this stuff, this anti-NCAA momentum. I mean, it had started before the Will Wade stuff, but I feel like that college basketball scandal kind of pushed a lot of this stuff. And people are like, well, wait a minute. What are we doing here? We're suspending kids and these programs because they're taking $40,000 to attend a school. Like, what is that? What are we doing here? And they've been running out. They've been trying to play out the clock for 2 years now. We're still, what, 8 months?
Yeah. I mean, a little over,
It doesn't even feel like that.
No,
like,
it
feels like 3 months ago that
I mean, that's not even counting all the sexual stuff they got going on down there, going all the way back to Les Miles. Orgeron's been covering up for it. Why the hell would Vitello want to go down to that cesspool? I mean, steal from children's hospitals?
That's a good point. Mm-hmm. It's a lot more than
when
just
the state's broke. The school is going to be under the microscope.
There's a lot of messes, a lot of messiness going on down there. You don't know that Woodward guy. He's there for now, but for how long? I mean, if the Orgeron thing blows up and the Will Wade thing blows up, I mean, he's relatively new there. He just went from A&M within, what, a year or two?
Yeah.
I mean,
and we're not talking,
he might be out,
I mean,
too.
As far as baseball goes, I keep hearing y'all say this, and I know I'm kind of new to the whole thing, but it seems to me Vanderbilt's the best job in the country. They've got the best program. They give full scholarships. I drove past that stadium the other day. Other than the fact that Dudley is sitting right on top of it, it's a nice stadium.
it's really small.
Yeah. But, I mean, the big thing is they can give full scholarships and do. So.
I hope that this is just all Tony and the CAA folks, Jimmy Sexton, using all this as leverage. Using all this as leverage to get out of Tennessee exactly what they want, which is, as you know, the money for the coaches and then as nice a facility as possible. But, again, until we have that press conference, that release, Tony Vitello inks a new long-term deal with the University of Tennessee, there's still going to be a lot of speculation out there that he won't. Stay with us. Hour number three coming up. Rick's got the top 5 of 5 when we continue next here on Fan Run Radio.
The Drive.
Like it or not, social media is here to stay. Your business needs to stand out on social media, helping you get in front of your customers, fans, and connections, especially as more and more happens online. Smarter Searches is a local